reading this morning after breakfast in the Psalm, I noticed through the breaking of bread meeting a number of quotations from the Psalm. So now we will read again from the Psalm. Psalm 3. I'll try to level my voice so that you can hear me. Can you hear me in the back? Some of you are a long ways from me. Thanks. Poor Aunt Ada, she said, she was here yesterday, and she said, "What's the matter? I could always hear you." But she said, "As you've got old now, your voice must be lower." Well, I said, "Where did you sit?" "Well, I sat over there." "Well," I said, "no wonder. You were so far away, nobody else could have got to you hardly." "Well," she said, "I never heard a word that Mr. Crawford said either when he took part, and so we were all in the same boat." Poor Aunt Ada didn't hear any of us. So I want you to hear anyhow, and I hope it'll be worth your time. The third Psalm. And I want to read the heading. I told our brother Metcalf I was glad that he did read the heading of the Psalm, because I think it's most helpful and important at times. Now, all of the Psalms are not written by David, nor all of his Psalms are not in the Book of Psalms. But this one is. A Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom his son. O Lord, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me. O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. I'll give you a little background of David, but I'll give you three things to remember this maybe by. And I think the first you'll see is trial. And I'll put it in three T's. The next is trust and triumph. Trial, trust, and triumph are standing out in this little psalm. Also, it's a mourning hymn. And the other one is an evening hymn. If we were writing it, we'd reverse the order, I know, but the Lord makes no mistake. Now, in connection with David, first of all, I think it might interest some of you. Some of you have heard me say this, but not here, that David was not really a true Israelite. I can see one or two looking rather strange when I say that. Well, his great-grandmother was a Moabitess. You get that at the end of Ruth. We don't go out of our Bibles to find that, and you can also get it in the genealogy in Matthew chapter 1. Well, on top of that, I'm telling you that because of other things. His sisters, one of his sisters was Zeruiah, and her three sons gave him lots of trouble. Why, you'd say, where do you find all that? Well, you find that in the Bible too, in 1 Chronicles. And David had to say, These sons of Zeruiah be too hard for me. I'm building this all up for you to see, first of all, his trial. For the trial came through flesh and blood. The trials, his trials right here now came from who? Just where we read, Absalom his son. That was the trial that is before us. And where can they be more sometimes when it's right from your own family? And that's where it was in this man's case. Well, if you would go back, of course, and read about some of these trials in this poor man, you'd see where I'm getting at or what I'm getting at. I think you'd have to read in 2 Samuel to get this. That's when this man, who was the king, was chased from his throne by his own son, with murderous intent in his heart and mind to seize that kingdom and reign for his own glory, if that was a possibility. And in doing so, he didn't stop at anything very much. Well, that's how this happened to be. Some of these psalms, that's why I think if we get the heading of them, it means a little more to us, because it came through deep experiences on the part of the writer. He was pressed, sorely pressed, and out of that came the writing of some of these psalms that have been such a blessing to God's people all down through these many ages. And thank God for them, they've been a blessing to us too. However, I will, without reading back in 2 Samuel 15, I'll tell you where it is, you can read it yourself, but that's a little history, and it's a most sad one. Weeping is mentioned several times in that portion. It's in connection with this. It's prior to this. That's when David hurries away over the brook Kidron, and the others are going with him. It speaks of his being even barefooted at the time and hurrying on to get away from this son that was seizing or trying to and hoped to and expected to seize the kingdom. And as they went up, they wept. That hillside was watered that day, not from the skies, but from the tears of the people, because they were all weeping. What a sad, weeping scene that is when you think of it and read it, and I hope you will. 2 Samuel 15, read it, and I hope you do. How sad that was. His own son. And mind you, this man wasn't a hard man, though he was a warrior and a fighter and a man of blood and all that. Yet he wasn't a hard man. And he had a love for his own son just the same. And when the news came to him that his son had died or was killed, you remember that scene too? It nearly broke his heart. And as he went up the stairs, they could hear him saying, "My son, Absalom, oh, my son, would to God I died for thee, my son, my son." Some of you have sons, and they're not saved. I have one too. He's over 60 years old, and he's not saved. Is he rebellious? No. He'll listen to me preach, even. Come to hear me and all that, but far as I can see, the Holy Spirit has never laid hold of him yet. He's been around the world 3 times. But he's a son, and David's son, his own flesh and blood, now has seized the heart of the simple people and seizing the kingdom if he can, and occupying his palace and he's left without garments and food and so on. Well, God took care of him, as he always does his own. But see that awful scene as they go up weeping and weeping and weeping. And it reminds me again of the psalm that says, "He has put my tear in his bottle." Remember this, weeping saints. God has watched the tear flow from your eye and down your cheek. He'll pick up one of them and put in his bottle and file them away in his great filing cabinet. And they'll gleam as gems and jewels as he looks upon them, for he knows about it. There's no weeping saint but what he knows all about that, for we read that, of course, in the scriptures without quoting it. And so that's the background, I believe, of the writing of this psalm, and it's a sad scene indeed. The trial. Are you passing through any trial? I've been impressed in reading again through the psalms and the other portions of David's history, the many times he refers to trouble. In fact, I asked a brother that you're well known, Brother Crawford has labored with him quite a lot. I said, did you ever take up the subject of trouble? Well, that was one subject he hadn't taken up. Well, I said, I'm working on it. And of course he said, well, that's fine, now you got an addition. Because he knew what it was. I said, that's right. But David had many troubles in his life, and this is one of the big ones. And yet, he could say to Solomon later on, in all my trouble, I've prepared for the house of the Lord. And so, brethren and sisters, in spite of our troubles and difficulties, it doesn't mean that we have to hang our heads always and look inside and pity ourselves. Oh, no, just as we read in Hebrews 6 and 1, let us go on. We're on the winning side at all times and every time. Thank God. And though the man was in the midst of a terrible trial at this time, he couldn't see through to the end of his trial, but nevertheless he would be on the winning side. God had anointed him. And God had said, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. And though it was his own son, he dared to touch the anointed of the Lord, and he was committing his own suicide, you might say, because the wrath of God would fall upon him. Oh, be careful that you don't touch the anointed. Be careful you don't touch God's people. I don't agree with a lot of them. I've said that so many times, I guess you all know it. And they don't all agree with me. And I guess you can't blame them. But I don't know anybody that I couldn't shake hands with. Sometimes I shake hands with them and tell them, of course, you know I don't agree with you. And then they say, do you have to remind us every time? No, not every time, but once in a while so you won't forget. However, the trial, and that's what we have here. Now let us look at this great trial. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. And they were. Absalom had stolen the hearts of these simple ones. And they're rising up, not 10, not 20, but many, many more. And they're rising up against him. You say, well, he was a fighter. Why didn't he gather in some of his men and fight the battle? He left the battle with the Lord at that time. And some of his own men had turned against him too. One of his counselors even turned against him. I believe it's a good thing to cease from man whose breath is in his nostrils. Whereof is he to be accounted of? So often we would look to man. Always look to the Lord, brethren and sisters. And if you do, you'll come out winning on the other side. Because he is the one to look to. Men are failures at the best. The very time that you think you've got them as your friend and support, you lean against them, and it's like leaning on a prop. It hasn't been stabilized good, and it'll fall and let you go down too. You'll go down with them. But when you look to the Lord, never. Ah, thank God for that. So they did increase against him. Many there be which say of my soul, There is no help for him in God. But there was help. David couldn't see it at the time, but there was help. Because I think David probably had never forgotten this. Any time that he could have slain Saul the king, he wouldn't do it. Why? Because Saul was anointed of the Lord. And he realized this. He was anointed of the Lord too. And who's going to slay him? He was tested as far as King Saul was concerned. He could have slain him at different times, but he even kept his own men back from doing that. Why? He'd always say, no, he's anointed of the Lord. You can't touch him. God will take care of him, and God did. For he lost his life on Mount Gilboa. Oh, yes. The Lord is looking on. The Lord is over all. Always remember that, brethren. My boys, sometimes when I came home, my wife would have to report their behavior. So I used to call them in my little den and get out my little book. And now I'd say, now, your mother said you did so-and-so on such and such a date. Is that right? Well, yes. What did you do it for? Well, we thought we'd get away with it. But I said you didn't, did you? And you forgot one thing. What was that? There's a reckoning day coming, and now here it is. So I said, all right, now, G.C. Jr., did you do such and such a thing on such and such a date and so on that your mother says? Well, he wouldn't call his mother a liar because he thought a lot of his mother. Yes. All right, that's a confession. But that doesn't mean that you're not going to get the punishment. There's a punishment coming. And there they were sitting waiting for the punishment. And I opened my desk drawer, and I put the little book in there, and I locked it up. Well, I said, that'll be all for today. I'll see you later about this. And I went away. Again, I forgot. And they said to their mother, when's Dad coming back? Well, she said, why? Well, we want to get rid of this punishment because we can't have any fun. Well, that was a better punishment, I think, than if I'd have given it to him right then. But always remember this. Someone is looking, and who is it? The Lord! I had a little fellow the other day at my place. I've only been home about 3 weeks after nearly 8 months. And backed our big trailer in there, and neighbor's children. And they can just do anything they like because nobody's going to say anything to them, of course. But I had a talk with them a year ago because they'd had to have the police down there. I didn't get them, but somebody else did. So I went away, and when I come back, there's one of my doors down to the heater and my trailer. So I waited all right, and I caught these little fellas. They were just chasing around doing something. I said, wait a minute, boys. I want to have a talk with you. I said, say, how did that door get all down on my trailer there? Do you know? No, we do know. You didn't know anything about that? No? Well, I looked at one. I said, now, are you sure? Yeah, it wasn't me, Dad. Well, I looked at the other one. I said, now, what about you? Oh, it wasn't me. Well, I said, when I went away, it was all up there and fastened right. But when I come back, it's down. No, I said, which one of you did it? Well, one said it wasn't me anyway. So they anyway let me know. I knew it. All right. So I said, all right, so it was you, was it? Well, he said, we tried to put it back. And that was another confession and so on. Well, I said, I'll tell you, somebody saw you do that. You did? Yes. You didn't know that, did you? No. I said, remember this. Somebody was looking at you all the time, and they saw you do it. What? Who would that be? So I had a nice little talk with them. Now I said to the neighbor boy, I said, look, I spoke to you a year ago, and I'm speaking to you again. As long as you leave my property alone, you'll have no trouble with me. Will you promise me?
Yes.
And I said, always remember, if you don't and you break your promise, somebody is looking at you just the same, and they'll see, and I'll know about it too. And he's never bothered me since. Always remember this, brethren and sisters, just like my boys thinking they could get away with it, you may, as far as your brethren are concerned, and in the family too, but God is looking on, and God is looking down, and He will see you. And you can't get away from Him. The trial of David was so severe that I couldn't describe it as I'd like to. And yet, it would bring tears to your own eyes to read it when you read of the many, many tears of that man. On top of all of that trouble, here's another man coming along, and he begins cursing him and throwing stones at him, Shimei. And so one of his mighty men, they said, let me go over and take his head off. Wouldn't take those men long to do it either, I'll tell you. They were well trained, and with one push of the sword, off would come that head. But no, David said, let him curse on. Perhaps God has allowed it. Perhaps God has sent it. Well, in some of my troubles, I thought the same way. I thought, well, Lord, perhaps I deserve this. There must be some lesson I have to learn in this, and help me to learn it, whatever it was. And you know, I got some joy out of the thing. Out of the trouble? Yes. Because I felt that the Lord had been looking on, there was some reason why, and He allowed me to pass through that very thing for a purpose. And He allowed David to pass through this for a purpose too. And it has been a great blessing to God's people throughout the ages that he was pressed so sorely at that time. He couldn't have been the sweet psalmist of Israel if he hadn't have had these troubles and trials, and he refers to the troubles so many different times. You might think, mildly, one must have been wonderful to be a king. I wouldn't want to go through the troubles that David went through. And you look at other people and you think, my, it must be wonderful. Everything seems to be so rosy for them. It must be like Acts 27 for them. The south wind is blowing softly. Ah, but you don't know about those north winds and breezes that are coming into their life. I had to learn that lesson years ago in the New England state, passing through a trouble. I went to a conference and I thought, my, these people look so nice here. They're happy, face-looking, and all the rest of it. They don't know. They don't pass through anything like this. And as quick as that, the Lord spoke to me and said, every heart knoweth its own bitterness. Oh, Lord, I said, that's right. They've taken a little pill that I don't know anything about. A pill of bitterness. But they put a smile on the outside and nobody can see it, and that's the best way to do. Keep on, brethren. Again, I want to say, we're on the winning side, thank God. I'm on my way to heaven and home, and God is my Father, and I hope He's here too. And if you are passing through a trial, take your trials to the Lord Himself, and He'll bless you and bring you out of it, just as He did the troubles of David at this time. Well, notice on a little further now. Verse 3, but Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, glory, and the lifter up of mine head. This is trust. Oh, yes, he's going beyond his trials, and he's looking to the Lord now, and notice that again, O Lord. Art a shield, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. Instead of his head going off, he's knowing this. God is going to lift his head up. You won't go down if you'll keep looking up. The Lord will keep you from going down But if you look down, you'll go down, and if you look in, you'll get sad, and if you look around, you might get mad. And that would be worse. So don't do that. Always keep looking up. And so that would be his trust, I think. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me. Out of his holy hill. Do you talk to the Lord out loud? I want to commend that to you. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me. Well, I preached with a man that preached, he used to pray so loud that the neighbors heard him. Well, of course, I don't commend that much. That was Mr. J.F. Pearson. And he enjoyed talking to the Lord, but he'd forgotten that we were in a place where the other house was pretty close and the window was up, and he was talking. He had a big voice anyhow, as Archie Stewart said, it could fill a barn. And with his big voice, he was talking to the Lord. And so the neighbor said, "What kind of a man you got over there? He seems to be preaching to himself." Well, he wasn't. He was talking to the Lord. But however, do you talk to the Lord with your voice? Speak to him. "Let me hear thy voice." I'm quoting from the Song of Songs now. God wants to hear your voice. And as our brethren said, and even in prayer, and this man Ramsey, I know his name. Well, now, you don't mind a little humor. It's in me. If you knew all I kept back, you'd have patience with me. But anyway, he told the Lord that. And we were thankful that the brethren did rise to their responsibility and offer God thanks. You notice I didn't until the last. And I added my amen before we went down to dinner. Why? I don't believe in all the preachers just occupying all the time at the Lord's table. I've preached against that for years and still believe it. These brethren that use their voices in the local assembly, they could use it at conferences too, and raise up as they did this morning and thank God for the Lord Jesus. And praise God if all they did was the minor that got saved in the old country. Now, I read this, of course, because I've never been to that country. However, he came up, he got saved in the mine, and he came up and came home, and he told his wife, "Get them on their knees, we're going to pray." Well, he thought, drunk again. However, he nodded to the children, and they all got down on their knees. When he got down there, he didn't know what to say. So he had a little Scotch bonnet off, on, and he took it off and he waved it like this and he said, "Hooray for Jesus! Hooray for Jesus! Hooray for Jesus!" That was his prayer. You think that went to heaven? Oh yes, that probably went there better than some of us that dovetail scriptures together and you couldn't find a fault with it sometimes, and it's just so fine. Where did it come from? Right out of his heart, for he'd just gotten saved with his black face. He wasn't born with a black face, but it was black because of the coal dust. But it had been washed down here. The tears had made two little rivers of white down here, and there he was. A happy soul! Oh, brothers and sisters, we've everything to rejoice about. We've everything to be happy about. Cry unto the Lord with your voice, and he'll hear you. Yeah, but there's so many others. Oh, yeah, but think of the great God we have as our God. And although there are thousands of others crying to the Lord all over the universe, just as our brother prayed, according to the time zones, there'll be breaking of bread meetings going on this whole day long, right around the world, all that going up to heaven. And yet, he can hear us. And he hears that man down in the lowly dungeon. And behind the iron curtain, as we call it, and the bamboo curtain too, there are prisoners there that are languishing and dying for the name of the Lord Jesus. They won't give up their faith in the communistic countries. They haven't everything nice like we have. Clothes, food, Ah, the Lord Jesus said, having food and raiment therewith, be content, and we're not even content with what we've got. Cry unto the Lord with your voice and let him hear that voice of yours. And now, here he is. This is the morning after. You know, I saw an ad one time. It was a comical thing, but yet it wasn't. It wasn't an ad. It was more like a cartoon of a drunk. And it said, the morning after. Well, he wasn't singing. He had a big head. And things were all blurry and so on. And he was going to lose everything and things were just going out from under him. It was the morning after. But I think this is the morning after with David. And it's a different kind of a morning. Why? Notice now in verse 5, I laid me down and slept. Can you sleep with all that trouble? Oh, some say I couldn't sleep. I walked the floor and so on. Well, why didn't you just do like David then? Cry unto the Lord and put your trust in him as he did. And then know, as David knew, because I think you can see faith here in this man, and he realized this, I'm just committing this unto the Lord and he'll take care of me and take care of everything for his own glory. And so I laid me down and slept, and he didn't have a beautiful bed to sleep in and a soft mattress either at the time. He's sleeping on the hillside out under the canopy of heaven that night. The tears had been shed, but he'd committed it all to the Lord now. And so he's able to sleep. What a sleep he had. Why could he sleep under that? He said, I awake, for the Lord sustained me. It was because God had sustained him that because he could sleep. I suppose you think it's all right for you men to say all those things. You don't have troubles and you don't have this. And I know, we look pretty nice. I hope you think so. Well, yes, we put on our best front. Here, I could write a book about trouble. Maybe you will. Everybody's writing books now. I've read hundreds of them, but here's one that they haven't got out yet. And so I might write one. And I could write another one about physical ailments that I've had. And yet, the Lord sustained me. Why, I'm not supposed to be here according to medical science. I'm supposed to have been dead and buried long ago. They gave me up to die. But it wasn't my time. And I had conviction from the Lord that I wouldn't die, and the doctor didn't know that. When they wheeled me into the hospital in Manchester, Connecticut, and I was supposed to die because an artery had burst in the back here, leading into my heart, and they saw no way I could live. But I lived! I guess you think my voice isn't too low yet. Why, the Lord sustained me, and he'll sustain you too, brother. And I want to help you this afternoon to look off unto him, the author and finisher of faith. He's finished it all, and there he is. And thank God for it. And now his triumph. I don't know what time I'm supposed to get down. Arnie's gone, so he can't tell me. I'm speaking longer than him, too. I was speaking when he was called up for service here. In fact, I was having a series of meetings right here when he was called up for service. However, that doesn't mean I have to take all the afternoon because I am the oldest. Now notice. Verse 6 and 7. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people. You could have almost heard the tramp, tramp, tramp of these people following Solomon as they were coming after David at this time. The whole earth would be jarred with these hundreds and hundreds of people that were coming after this man. And yet, here's what he's saying. I'll not be afraid. No. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people that have set themselves against me round about. Why? His confidence was in God. And brethren, how is it we can trust the Lord for salvation, but we can't trust Him for the smallest things going? Now, I went through the serious depression of 1929. I didn't smell the ark. Don't think I'm that old. However, I knew what that was to trust the Lord. And I never asked a human being for anything. And God sustained me too. And in those days, how would some of you brethren like to get 25 cents for fellowship? Well, I got that. And appreciated it too. Why? Well, it might have been the only 25 cents ahead. Ah, yes, we weren't driving brand new cars and so on then. We used the footmobiles much of the time, and it didn't do us any harm at all. Ah, no, this man, his confidence is in God. And I hope, my brother and sister this afternoon, that you'll go away from this conference thinking, I'm not going to weep and cry over these things anymore. I can't solve them anyhow. I'm just going to turn them over to the Lord. And let God run the business for you. You've read that book, God Runs My Business? Eterno. Well, you've just started in a new business, haven't you? Well, now get the book. All kinds of books. Have you read it? God Runs My Business. You have, haven't you? Yeah. Well, it's worth reading. The man isn't a gathered out man. Maybe he's in heaven by now. Yeah, I think he is. But mind you, that was worth reading. I read it when I was having meetings in a place. And it just bored me right up a little bit. Man, he was $7,000 in debt at the time. And he thought, what is wrong anyhow? And so he made a commitment, and he turned his business over to the Lord, and that's why he could write afterwards, God runs my business. And at one time, he gave 90% of his income to the Lord. Well, that was all right. He was taking in $11 million a year about that time. From $7,000 in debt to a multi-millionaire. Oh, that's worth trying, you say. Well, if you do it that way, you'll probably go down the drain in your business. No. Faith and trust in the living God. Man, alive, what time is it now? However, I think that's discussed. Now look at verse 8. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Now this isn't the salvation of the soul, so much as the salvation of the daily living, as David needed it at this time. If Walter Gustafson was here, he could tell me what time I got up. But I don't know. One thing I do know, I wouldn't have minded a drink of water about now, but I'm not going to drink this. I'm like Mr. Ramsey said, I think it's had a spray. So I'll maybe have to go and get my own. So, thanks for listening. The man that I started preaching with mostly, and that's J.F. Pearson, he baptized you. I remember when he went down and did, too. However, he told me, you can get down when the time is up, whether you're finished or not. Well, one time I went over his time 5 minutes. And how'd you like to be preaching with a man like that? He gives me a real going over for that, too. Well, I said, Mr. Pearson, I wanted to finish that subject. He said you could have let it rest for a while or forget about it because it wasn't that important anyway.
Romans chapter 8. Now, I didn't come with this in mind that I was going to speak from Romans 8. But I thought about it while the Bible reading was going on this morning. So I'm going to just touch on some simple things which I will call new things. Everyone likes something new. That's what keeps the world going, the commercial world. Because we're known as a throwaway society, get rid of that and get something new. The ladies, well, they keep the shops going. Those that wear hats, we're glad you do. Lots of new hats for sale and new styles. And then the automotive industry, well, they're flooding the market with new cars. 1989, they're already out. Get the new ones. Well, we have something new. And in this 8th chapter, there's a few new things. This, we know, is when we come to the Holy Spirit mentioned. I forget how many times you said this morning it was mentioned. 19 I've got. Did you get two more?
21,
but this count may be correct. However, it's either 19 or 21. Well, now that's great. I think we're pretty well on track. So let's look at chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I want to refer to this now as a new position. In Christ Jesus. How many of us this morning are in Christ Jesus? That's, first of all, the main question to answer. Am I really in Christ Jesus? A new position, as our brother has been referring to, when he was in his sins, but he got saved, and that put him into a position he never had before. A new position. Now, folks are looking for new positions as far as work is concerned and employment, and some we hear about that transferred and gone to here because they've got a new position. But here is a new position in Christ Jesus. Now, can you look back to the time and say, like our brother Moore has been telling us, when he became in Christ, when he was really born again? I'm wondering now, as I look at you this morning, well, if you are all saved, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? But I don't suppose you all are. Never in an audience like this do we find them all saved, and we hope you are or will be or will get exercise to be a new position. We hope that you will be desiring that. I was telling them last night where I'm staying of a man where we were in California. He's a lawyer. He's got 3 different degrees. Certified accountant, I don't know what not. He's not saved, but he's read the Bible through and spent 2 years studying the New Testament, and still he isn't saved. And the Lord gave me the privilege of talking to a man like that. What a brainy man. Now, he had all of those things, and yet I had something he hasn't got. What's that? I'm in a position that he hasn't ever got into yet. He's had wonderful positions, and he's got a good one now. But he hasn't got this. This is something new, a new position in Christ Jesus. I'm using those words, and I hope that each one of us will search ourselves and look back to that time. It won't do any harm to go back to the time when you were first saved, when you got into that position. In fact, it'll help us. I won't tell you when that happened to me, of course, because I'm not going to tell you my conversion right now. That would take too long. But it was new. Brand new. And the best part of that is it never wears out. Anything else you get made by man, it'd be free. That's why they have to rough proof the cars and I don't know what not.
Because it begins to deteriorate as soon as you get it. No matter what it is. But here's something new. No, again, who is it that doesn't like something new? Well, think of this. A new position in Christ Jesus. So how many of us this morning can say, thank God, I'm in Christ Jesus. Last winter I heard a man, I think it was in San Antonio, Texas. I could hear a voice a long ways away. And I thought, well, that man's quoting scripture. So I made my way around till I found out where it was. I didn't know what was going on. Well, here was a man all by himself, and he was telling the people that I'm in Christ. I'm born again. And I stood there like a decoy because I wanted to get some others around, and I was going like that to him. And so after a while, I went over to him and said, I'm saved as well. Well, praise the Lord, he said. Think of that man standing there all by himself. He wasn't gathered out, didn't know anything about the things we know or anything. One thing he did know, he'd gotten saved and he was out there shouting it out to that big city and the passers-by. And some of them thought, oh, something wrong up here, I guess. There wasn't anything wrong. I just said, brother, keep at it. Never saw him before and I'll never see him again until I get to heaven, I suppose. But thank God. There's witnesses everywhere. And on top of that, if we are born again, and we've got this new thing, don't we want to talk about it? Somebody said to me, I see you got a new car. Oh yes, I can tell you a few things about it. Not too many though. You know, well, like 24 different things on the panel up there. I don't know what some of them are yet. However, I can tell you something about it, of course, because it's new. I want to talk about it, all right. Well, somebody just got a $10 million the other day. Never had it before. Of course, they got it through the gambling ticket, that is true. But what were they talking about afterwards? Something they never had before. Night and day, they couldn't sleep the head. Why? Because they're millionaires now. See? Well, if we're in Christ Jesus, what are we going to be talking about? Oh, that dirt. And the heat this summer. A million other things you could talk about, all right. Well, that's enough of that one. Look a little further down now. Without reading all the verses, that'll be read later on. Verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Here is a new walk. We walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. A new walk. A walk that you couldn't have in your sins. A walk that you couldn't have if you weren't in Christ. But now that we are in Christ, a new walk. Walking after the Spirit. Being guided by the Spirit. And I think that is a good exercise. I've tried to put it in practice sometimes myself. And that is to be guided by the Spirit. Walking after the Spirit. That new walk in Him. He will lead us. He will guide us. He will do for us what we couldn't do before. We've been hearing something along that very line, I'm sure. Well then, I'm going to hurry along, but however, we have a new ambition. And that would be it too. Walking after the Spirit. If a person is born again, he'll have that ambition. He'll walk after the Spirit. And he'll not want to grieve the Spirit. And he'll not want to quench the Spirit. If he does, he loses his joy. and she as well. Oh, we could name so many things that would grieve the Holy Spirit. And we could name many things that we're guilty of. And as I look at you and you look at me, that's right. I'm not walking after the Spirit. I'm walking after what? Well, just what we're getting right in the very portion here. We're walking after the flesh. So much and so many times we walk after the flesh and we're not walking in that new walk. Walking after the Spirit. I wish I could walk better for the Lord Jesus. I wish I could walk after the Spirit better. I think of two that had a walk one day, and you remember Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Not just before Pentecost and the giving of the Holy Spirit and so on, but nevertheless, what a walk that was. A walk that they never forgot, and we haven't forgotten either because it's put in the Bible. What did they say afterwards? They had real heartburn. You know, if you eat too much of the wrong food, you have the wrong kind of a heartburn. But this was the right kind. Did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us by the way? Well, if we walk after the Spirit, will he talk with us? Certainly will. But you'll have to read the Bible. He can't quote the Bible to you that you haven't read. So I hope we're all reading our Bible. I was surprised to talk to someone, save 20 years, that had never read their Bible through once. Yes. Could you believe it? Now, if I could refer to myself, I will. When I was first saved and realized that I had this new position in Christ, and the Holy Spirit, I began reading my Bible and nobody told me what to do. I read 10 chapters a day. So you see, it didn't take me long to read through the whole Bible. Because in meetings like we had this morning, I thought of it this morning because I went to those meetings such as that when I was first saved, and I heard the brethren and the different ones nodding one to another. I didn't know what they were talking about. I'd never read the Bible. I heard the man talking about from Leviticus, and he waved it horizontally, and so on. Well, what's he doing that for? I'd never read in Leviticus, and when they asked me to read in Leviticus, I'd be turning up some other part of the Old Testament. I didn't know even where it was. But after you've read it, then the Holy Spirit can bring before your attention the Scriptures. It's certainly surprising. As our brother was telling us, the difficulties you can get into, he got it right from the Word. Well, I get it sometimes too, but not from opening my Bible even. Why? Well, it's been stored away in my computer bank because I have read the Bible. And then as I'm thinking about it and praying about it, as quick as that, the Holy Spirit will bring a verse or two before you, and you'll say, thank God, that's it. Well, we have that ambition. I believe every Christian wants to please the Lord. It's a new ambition that we never had before and couldn't have. We don't always please Him. That's true. But if you are born again, you want to. There's a desire begotten of the Holy Spirit in that person to please Him who loved us unto death, even the death of the cross, who suffered for us. And when we begin to think of that, we want to please Him. And if you're born again, I think you'll want to. You know, I didn't become too popular on the West Coast. Because I told them that I saw rank disobedience and I couldn't
give a good report when I got back east. So you see how popular I got out there. Well, I was right. And I'm glad to see you here this morning. And I'm not going to say what I just thought I would. However, look a little further along. Verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be, that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The new life, Christ in you. You in Christ, but Christ in you. Now here's that new life. And again, something new. The new life in Christ. The new position, yes, but Christ in you. Now the reason why I think that some are not walking after the Spirit is the Spirit isn't in them. They've never been born again. If any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. It's one thing to say, and it's one thing to have a mental assent to these things, but it's another thing to have to be born again and have the Spirit in you. That's why I said before and do again, I believe that every born again Christian has a desire to please the Lord. Some of them don't, because they don't have the proper teaching. If anybody ought to be thankful, it's those that are gathered out and gathered unto our Lord Jesus Christ for the plain teachings that we get from the Holy Bible. All of us brethren, and especially our preaching brethren, they know what it's like to meet different ones in different parts and places where they go, and they're mixed up, as one would say, like a dog's breakfast, with all the false teachings and so on. And with that, some of them have a desire to please the Lord. It's amazing how that they can be happy in the mix-up that they're in. Why? Because they haven't been taught. And yet you keep digging away and you find, yes, sir, they seem to be my brother and sister in Christ. They're in Christ. But if any man has not the Spirit, he's none of his. He's not saved. Are we all born again here this morning? I hope that God will get at us this morning to realize this. There's many people that have even been breaking bread that will not go to heaven when they die, if they die suddenly. Why? They've never been born again. They pose and pass as a Christian and they look like it too. But they haven't the Spirit of Christ in them. Have you? This would be a wonderful conference if somebody found out the truth. And it unveiled itself to them to realize this. For I have known of some that have gone on for 20 years, were never saved at all. Somebody said of one, oh, that man happened to be me. And the man was the one that did the wrong work to begin with. He came along and said, why, that man Taylor just got you all stirred up, because that's the way he preaches all the time anyhow. That person graduated from the Toronto Bible School. He was a graduate pastor. And she told that man this. If it had been left to you, I'd have gone to hell.
Because you never preached and told me that I was a sinner on the way to hell. I took in all the doctrines and believed it all and even got separated and was gathered out by this time and have never been saved. That shows how far you can go and not be born again and not have the Spirit of Christ. You can have your mind crammed full of scriptures and took them by the yard and not saved at all. It's a painted red. It's a fearful thing to think that I might be the instrument of helping someone on the wrong path into a profession of Christ and none of His. Are you saved? Are you born again? Well, if you are, then some of these new things, you'll have a desire to walk before the Lord. You'll have a good spirit. You'll be able to be spoken to. And when the brother or sister speak to you, you won't probably lose your temper like you once did. I was well tempered before I was saved. You know, some good feel they temper it well, don't they? Well, I was well tempered too. I suppose it's amusing and it's a terrible thing to have to tell about yourself, but before I was saved, something wouldn't work. We used to use these old watches that you put in your pocket like this. I took that thing and I threw it on the floor and then I put my heel in it like that, to let off some of the steam. And I watched all the wheels going around. And by this time, I cooled off a little bit. You do that now, you say? I've had plenty of occasions to do it, but I haven't done it since. Well, I got saved after that, but I wasn't saved then. One thing to lose your temper, but don't find it afterwards. Quite a thing to hear all these things about how to walk in the flesh and one thing and another in the spirit, and then you go up to somebody and you say, "Now look, I don't agree with you at all. You're absolutely wrong on that." The high blood pressure begins to go then. You take his poke and see, watch out, you'll get a heart attack. He's the very one that told you to be so calm and easy and quiet. What happened? Didn't take long to press that button. Why? Well, you know why as well as I do. However, look now at verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And here's the new leader. As many as are led by Him. The new leader. Led by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God will always lead you into righteousness. And right things, and right doings, and right sayings, and right speech, and so on. The Spirit of God will lead you how to speak. You won't be using the phraseologies of the world. And you won't be wanting to dress like the world. And you won't be wanting to become just like the world either. The Spirit of God would never lead you into those things. Look, we heard about the state. I forget that man's name. Myself. Okay. However, I was a dance promoter. The Spirit of God never led me back into that again. He's the leader. And all those other things, He will lead you where? He leads you outside of the camp, unto the Lord, to be with His people. He'll never lead you to leave His people, but He'll lead you with His people. He's the leader. If we want to be led. And you know, that man is made up of that very thing. We always want a leader. That's why all of these great countries of the world, you just read history and you know that. That's why Hitler got where he did. They wanted a leader. They got a bad one. And different ones right along the line. And now they're wanting to vote in
our leaders now, but ours is already in. Led of the Holy Spirit. I wonder why we came to the conference. Well, I'll tell you. They have wonderful meals at Arnstein. And on top of that, it's a nice time of year to come. You see the foliage? It never was any more beautiful. And so on. Well, let me see. Somebody was at a conference I was at a year ago. I did smile. Because that's why some came. And that was in another country, USA. But they said, it's the time of year when the foliage is out the very best. And oh, it's beautiful up there. And we just go. They went. And they had a snowstorm. Never expected it. And I'll tell you what the foliage looked like with about that much snow on it. And the trees and the branches all hung down like this. And they couldn't get out of the place the next day and so on. You remember that? Well, I knew somebody was there besides me. That's what they got for that wonderful trip. If that's all there was to it, why the Holy Spirit didn't lead them to do that, to come just to see that? I enjoy nature and God's handiwork, and I'm just reading through the Psalms now, the wonderful works of God, all through the Psalms. Wonderful. And I enjoy looking at God's handiwork everywhere. But the Holy Spirit would lead us somewhere else. When it comes to the life lived day by day, He'll never leave you, lead you to leave God's New Testament assembly. And He'll never lead you to go to a chapel. Oh, I touched the wrong button now, I suppose. Look. If you're here from a chapel, we're glad to see you. But I know the start of some of those places. And the Holy Spirit wouldn't lead you to some of them either. I hope that we're Christians that are really gathered out and gathered unto our Lord Jesus Christ. If we're led by the Spirit, we will be. That leader will lead us to suffer His reproach for His name's sake. And we're living in a day when they're trying to roll away that reproach. There's reproach, I know, to be gathered out only to the Lord Jesus. Are we willing to be led by our leader? Well, I hope so. However, better look at that time. Run right down the whole chapter then. Bypassing all of these, it'll be just like on the 401. Verse 25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helping our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself or Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now we have two things here, and one is a new hope, and you'll see that right there, that of course the unsaved can never have that hope. That's a new hope that I never had before, and thank God for that hope. But then we have something else, and we have a helper, a new helper. He will help us. With some people have asked that very question here in verse 26. But the Spirit itself or Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Some said, is that why the brethren make so much noise sometimes?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So, well, I don't really think that's what it means. However, there He is. And He indwells the believer.
And it's the new helper that I have.
He'll help me to walk in that right walk. He'll lead me in the right way. He'll do for me what I can't do for myself, nor my brethren can do for me. Oh, they can help me in many ways, but there's a certain thing they can't help me in, and that's these things. Now, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended.